Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. We're going right to the phones. Where joining us is Colorado's own Kirk Dieter. Let me see. He's the editor of Trout Magazine, editor-at-large of Field & Stream. He's an author, an accomplished fly fisherman. You know, Kirk, it's only a half-hour show. I can't go through your whole resume.
Well, you're kind. Thank you for having me, Terry. It's good to be with you.
Always great to have you on, and a lot going on. And I wanted to make sure we talk some fly fishing today because, you know, I've been talking about the way the seasons have shaped up this year has been different. Where our timing's been off, but it's starting to catch up. But I think we're headed for a phenomenal fall fly fishing experience. I know you were recently out on the Colorado River. What did you see out there?
Well, it was a great day yesterday, except for the fact that the wind was blowing so hard. But despite that, we caught some fish. We were moving them on streamers, mostly an olive-colored sculpin. And surprisingly, though, the skies were very bright, but we had blooming olives all over the place. When the wind laid down or we got behind the canyon wall where we were sheltered a little bit, we were even able to fish some dry flies. So it's definitely great flows. About 1,300 CFS coming down the river now. It's low and clear. You can see some of the fish in the shallows. It's about as perfect as it can be right now.
Now, do you think the timing? Now, we've been talking more about the conventional fishing, and also about the upland game, which I know you're a big hunter. And the spring hung on forever, and in the lakes, the bait fish didn't seem to get their normal hatches till, if they did, late in the year. The fish movements were different. The flows in the rivers were higher. The water temperatures in the lakes were cold. And then July and August just lit up, and it didn't go down. Normally, as a dove hunter, you know, I'm sure, that we usually get a freeze that moves all the doves out like the day before the season opens. And this year it's been late. We're starting to see, I'm hearing reports, it's starting to feel like fall out there. Is that kind of what you're seeing on the rivers too?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Terry. It's we had a late runoff, as you know, went well into July, and then very hot August. And so things slowed down. They were red hot as far as fishing was concerned through middle of July into middle of August. Then in the late couple weeks in August, it was kind of a doldrum. But now, because the nights are cool, it was in the 30s here. I'm in Steamboat Springs right now, and it's in the 30s last night, close to freezing. And the river temps, I was checking them yesterday, they never really got above like 62 or 63. So the water temps are perfect, and that's why I think the trout are so active and so happy.
I think we're going to have extremely healthy fish. A couple of years ago, we were worried because the waters were so warm and shallow and low flows all summer. We were worried about getting the fish through to the fall in the cooler water. I think that probably wasn't the case. We either had cool water or really good flows. So we should be looking at fish that are really in good shape heading into the fall.
For sure. The fish are going to be great this year. And even more importantly, they're going to be great next year. They're going to, you know, the holdover fish are going to be healthy. They're going to winter well. I think they're going to have good flows even in the winter. We'll see what the ice does. But I have a feeling that, you know, come next April, we'll have the best April and May of fly fishing that we've had in a long time.
Now, I know you did the Colorado. Have you, were you concentrating on the browns with streamers? Did you see many rainbows, or were you mostly seeing browns?
You know, it was about 50-50 mix, which is different than what it has been for me the last few times. But we were fishing in the riffles quite a bit with the streamers, too. So we caught some rainbows out in some of the riffly water. And we did catch a couple nice browns on dry flies. But, yeah, I'd say about 50-50 mix yesterday.
Well, you know, people who've never drifted to Colorado in the fall to fish those browns, it's almost like bass fishing. you're really, at least when I've done it, maybe you approach it differently, but we take big streamers and pound them right up against the shore and then strip them back very quickly. Is that what you were doing?
Exactly. We were fishing out of my drift boat. I was with my friend Harold Klausner, and you know, we were pounding the shore, but the weird thing was is that the wind, I mean, it was puffing sometimes over 40 miles an hour. So we actually had to turn the boat around and have the angler out the back and kind of fishing, you know, right against the bank, but maybe a 45-degree angle downstream. And it didn't seem to bother the fish that much. You know, we didn't catch a whole lot of fish, but we definitely moved some, and that was good.
Well, one of the things I like about, well, this time of the year especially,
when
the streamer fishing is going on, I love that because I do a lot of fly fishing. I grew up as a conventional fisherman, or I got older. Karen says I never grew up, but I think I do well fly fishing because I understand fish, not because I'm an expert fly caster, and I'm the first to admit that. But I think this time of the year, I love throwing streamers in a lot of situations where others might not, because it's a little more natural to me, and I understand it's a more it's not a drift as much as a visualization of what you're making that do. You're making it look like a minnow or a crawfish, and you're not as dependent on looking like a dead drift of a bug. And then another thing that happens this year I really love are hopper droppers, because I can kind of splash them down and they make a little movement on the water. So it's a great time to get out and fly fish, if you're not the most accomplished fly fisherman in the world.
That's exactly right. It's a matter of, I think the fish are, they know winter's coming. They're girding up. They're trying to bulk up a little bit, and the water's lower and clearer so they can see better, and they're about ready to spawn. The browns are, so and their dander is up. So streamer fishing tends to be really effective in the fall.
No, I agree. In fact, I have a theory about fall fishing. Now, a lot of people, inexperienced fly anglers, will shy away from fall because of what you said. We have clear, lower flows, and it can get pretty technical where you really have to make a great drift and put a fly right in there. But if you're in the where you can fish a hopper dropper or a terrestrial, you're going to have less crowds on the river because of the lower flows. Your line is more manageable. I actually think fall is a great time for novice and beginning fly fishermen to start expanding their repertoire and to advance their skills.
I agree. I think it's, you know, it's really nice because there's so much to do. You know, you got to decide if you want to go bird hunting, if you want elk hunting, the archery season going and all that stuff. So, you know, the crowds, you could tell even from 3 weeks ago, there's a third of the people out on the water now. And then with the low clear water, I think that it's also really nice because you can see some of the fish in the shallows sometimes. And you learn a lot as an angler by watching how fish react positively or negatively. You know, if he sees your fly and it's going to refuse it, well, then you need to switch it right then. So I think that it fall fishing is kind of like the fourth quarter of a football game. It's when we really separate the good from the bad, and it's crunch time. So I always look at it like playing fourth quarter football.
Well, you know, and another thing, I talked about the hopper droppers, and you and I have talked about this before too, and the other terrestrials, is those bugs may not be as prevalent, but those trout sure remember what they look like.
That's right. Plus a hopper, you know, at this time of year when they're trying to get so much protein, that's like a T-bone steak floating over their head. Sometimes they don't eat it right away, but if you watch them, sometimes they'll follow it 8, 10, 20 feet downstream and then eat it, and that's really pretty exciting.
Now, Kirk, I tell you what I want to do. I want to put you on hold. When I come back, first thing I want to do is I want you to give me two places you'd go fishing in the next 2-3 days. Maybe if you don't have a drift boat, you're just going to go walk wade somewhere. And then I want to talk about your books in the magazine. Is that okay?
That sounds great. Thank you.
All right, I'll put you on hold. I'm going to put Kirk on hold. And when we come back, we'll have more with Kirk Dieter on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. The Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. We're going right back to the phones because we have one of my favorite guests on. He's so knowledgeable about fly fishing, and of course he's the author. He's an author. We're going to talk about his books, and he's the editor of a couple magazines, and he's just everywhere. You find him out there, and even on the river. So my friend, next 2-3 days, if you were going to walk Wade, I put the test to you. I said, give me a couple places.
All right. And the first place I'd recommend is the place I drove by on my way from Denver up to Steamboat, and that's the Blue River. Right out downstream of Silverthorne. It looked pretty prime. Good low flows, easily wadeable. I know there are bugs. I'd bring red quills, blooming olives, you know, your typical streamer stuff we've been talking about, and some nymphs too, maybe fish a dry dropper. You can do it all there. And that's pretty easy. Lots of places to get in and fish. The other place that I do, I like to go, I love fishing the Arkansas River down by Salida. And this time of year especially is one of my favorite times of year to fish it. It's most famous for the Mother's Day caddis and the spring betas hatches, but I think their fall betas hatches are maybe even better. And so I'd check that out too.
In fact, we're going to have, I believe, the people from the Arkansas River on next week. I tried to get them on this week too because I think we're probably a little behind when you normally go down there, but I'm hearing reports that it's just starting. And, you know, a little bit warmer on the lower elevations down there, and it goes up, and we should have just tremendous brown trout fishing down there all through the fall. It should be just unbelievable. I agree with you on that one. That's fantastic. All right, so let's talk a little bit about some of the other things you do. Talk about the magazines. You're the editor of Trout Magazine. You're an editor-at-large at Field & Stream. What are we going to see coming up in those publications?
Well, we've got some, you know, we'll do some fishing tips and tricks tend to end up more in Field & Stream. And so that's what's cooking there. Trout Magazine, I'm really proud of where we're going. We have a nice blend of entertaining stories. John Gierak writes for us. It's a great honor to have him on the team. Tom Reed, Dave Whitlock. And then we have some fun features. And then there's some conservation stuff that tells you about the good work that TU has done to make fishing possible in the first place. So, you know, Trout Magazine is easy to get. You spend $35 to be a member of TU, which I personally think most anglers should do anyway, just out of conscience. But I'm proud that you get a nice magazine with that membership as well.
All right. And I agree. Of course, I'm a member of TU, and I even catch you at Field & Stream once in a while when I'm really bored, but I'm just kidding. I love your stuff. I follow you a lot. I really love it. And along those lines, you've written a couple books, one of them with a friend very near and dear to both of us that I don't think we ever get together. We don't mention his name. And then another one you've just recently come out. Tell us about the books and why they're so important for fly fishermen.
So probably the most important book that I've done so far was with our friend Charlie Myers, who is the outdoors editor with the Denver Post and my mentor and your friend and you know, I think probably introduced us.
Very likely.
Yeah. See, he was such a catalyst for these relationships that last. And Little Red Book of Fly Fishing was just meant to be simple tips that take the mystery out of the game and make it accessible and easy. Whether you're a novice or someone who does it a lot, they're supposed to be simple, easy to digest tips. And I'll tell you a secret. This 2020 is going to be the 10th year anniversary of when that Little Red Book was released. And to commemorate it, I'm coming out with the Little Black Book of Fly Fishing, which is, think of Black Diamond, a little bit more expert level type tips that transpired over the last 10 years. Unfortunately, I don't have Charlie looking over my shoulder, except in spirit, but he's certainly a part of this book as well.
All right. So we will, we'll look for those books and, you know what I should do? I'm going to put you on the spot on the air. I've got the Red Book, and by the way, the Red Book's not one you pick up and read cover to cover. You open it to a different page and you look, and why am I not doing that? And you know, you go through it. But I'm going to get one of your books, and we're going to do a trivia contest in the future and give one away. You up for that?
I'm in. Yeah, for sure.
Just get me one of the books. As soon as I get it, we'll do a trivia. I'll use Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Facebook to run a contest, and we'll do that. I think that'd be a great thing. But before I let you go, any last comments for the fly fishermen getting out there and things?
No, just enjoy it. It's something that we've kind of worked all summer to get to this spot. So get out there in the fourth quarter and bring it home. I think that this is a great time to be fishing and hunting and other things that we do outdoors. But don't forget the fishing. It's prime time.
You know, great time for a cast and blast. There's just so much to do. Kirk, thank you so much. We'll get you on soon. In fact, we got to get you in the studio again soon.
That sounds great. Anytime, my friend. It's good to be here.
All right. Thank you. Kirk Dieter, Trout Magazine, Field & Stream. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to come back and talk shooting right here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank.
Banking for good.